From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Juneau School Board voted on Tuesday to pay for a private investigation into an incident at Sit E.T. Shanak Glacier Valley School last month. That's when a dozen students were served floor sealant instead of milk at a Raleigh summer school program. The investigation could cost the district up to $45,000. On Tuesday, the board also extended its contract with the district's food service vendor for 6 months rather than the full year. That will allow the board to review the results of the investigation before renewing the full contract. Nana Food Services delivered a pallet of floor sealant to a school district warehouse where food is stored.
We've done several things to assure this doesn't happen again.
Daryl Webb is a senior executive with the company. He says the company's safety team and several managers did a thorough review of their processes and made necessary updates. That includes creating a new shipping and receiving protocol.
So we have several lines of defense, if you will, from the driver to the manager to the cook. Everybody on our team has been trained on that process, and that process is in place today.
Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss said the company's response to the incident has been diligent and that the contract extension is the district's best option this close to the start of the school year. The used aerial gondola system that Juneau officials bought for an estimated $2 million from a ski resort in Austria is on its way. Kristen Strom is the marketing and events manager at Eagle Crest Ski Area. She says workers in Austria finished loading the last shipping container with parts of the disassembled system today and sent it on its way. She says the system would arrive in Juneau in early September. Meanwhile, city officials are negotiating a design and engineering services contract with Northwind Architects for the gondola system. Northwind was the only firm to respond to the city's contract request last month. Eagle Crest General Manager Dave Scanlon told the ski area's board that Northwind's tentative timeline, plus the tight market for labor and materials, means the actual construction and installation would begin in the summer of 2023 and be finished the following summer. More technical work must be done before Eagle Crest's leadership can decide where specifically on the mountain the gondola will go, but the preferred path calls for a loading station at the current lodge, midway station to load and unload near Cropley Lake, and a summit house on Pittman's Ridge. The ski area's leadership thinks an enclosed lift of this kind will open up more terrain to winter users and let Eagle Crest expand activities in the summer. They say those summer activities will put the city-owned enterprise on a path to financial sustainability. Capital Transit is making more temporary adjustments to its service due to a continuing shortage of available drivers. The new changes took effect today. Go to JunoCapitalTransit.org for specifics. The Alaska Board of Education and Early Development on Wednesday appointed Heidi Teschner, acting commissioner for the state's education department. Alaska Beacon reports that Teschner, who was most recently deputy commissioner, is filling the department's top position following Michael Johnson's resignation on June 30th. Board Chair James Fields said the board wasn't in any rush to pick a permanent commissioner. Field said the board would go over the process for the commissioner search at its September meeting. Unlike other commissioners, the commissioner of education is not named by the governor. State law calls for the state school board to appoint a commissioner without regard to political affiliation, though the commissioner is subject to the approval of the governor. Wreckage of a plane that went missing on Monday has been found in the mountains near Valdez. Alaska state troopers say the aircraft's sole occupant, 38-year-old pilot Andy Anderson of Sutton, died in the crash. According to troopers, Anderson departed Valdez in the Iranka Champion plane Monday evening, headed for Sutton, and a search was launched after he failed to show up. Troopers say an Alaska Army National Guard Black Hawk helicopter crew located the downed aircraft yesterday afternoon at the top of Thompson Pass, about 1,000 feet off the Richardson Highway. They say Anderson's body was recovered and will be taken to the state medical examiner's office. And the National Transportation Safety Board plans to investigate the cause of the crash. AT&T workers in Alaska have voted to authorize a strike. Their union, Teamsters Local 959, has been negotiating a new contract with AT&T for several months. They're asking for cost of living increases and more affordable health care. Last month, workers briefly walked off the job to protest AT&T changing work conditions without a new contract. Tim Cavanaugh is a network technician for AT&T in Anchorage. He says it was the first time in his career that he'd experienced such a demonstration.
I'm coming up on just shy of 30 years as a 959 member here in Alaska. And we've never had to push this hard, never had to go this far.
The union represents 175 tower climbers, technicians, and other AT&T workers. They haven't had a contract since March. AT&T also owns the telecommunications company Alaskom, which supports the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System and communities like Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. The Wednesday strike authorization vote doesn't mean workers are about to walk off the job, but it tells AT&T they are willing to strike if necessary. Kavanaugh says a strike feels likely. AT&T CEO had a $24.8 million salary in 2021.
He's going to justify a handsome sum by taking it off the dinner table of labor workers. That's insulting. And I think enough people are insulted where, if it came down to it, yeah, it's pretty likely.
In an emailed statement, AT&T representatives said they were disappointed the union voted to authorize a strike and that they would continue bargaining in good faith. Several state representatives, including Representative Ivy Sponholz, Senator Josh Rivac, and Senator Tom Begich, have written to AT&T to call for fair negotiations. A Petersburg teenager who spent nearly a year in cancer treatment in Seattle got quite a surprise Wednesday at the airport. He thought he was getting on the plane for yet another doctor's visit. Instead, he's off to California to meet an NBA champion. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki reports.
Wait, like for real?
Yeah, for real. For real, for real.
Wait, this is all set, huh?
15-year-old Joseph Tagabon just had his mind blown, and it took a while for the truth to sink in.
I'm not gonna go to the appointment at all, right? It's just gonna
not this trip. No.
For the second time in less than a year, family and friends gathered at the airport wearing blue and white Joseph Strong t-shirts and holding signs. In November, they gave him a warm homecoming in a snowstorm after months of painful treatment for leukemia at Seattle Children's Hospital. Now, they're sending him off on the trip of a lifetime. Teachers and coaches like Cindy Fry and Mick Petruski filled him in on details.
Right, so in life, right, like in basketball, you never give up, Joseph. Your family, your team, and the Petersburg community have been by your side during all the hard times. You, sir, have demonstrated through this process what incredible strength that you have.
You are not headed to a medical appointment. You're headed to the Golden State for the Golden State Warriors for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with Klay Thompson.
And he's ESPN.
Tagabon's is one of the 12,000 opportunities of a lifetime expected to be granted this year by Make-A-Wish America. His wish is to meet the Warriors basketball star.
Klay helped the team, majorly helped the team win the championship, and how it was just a team effort. And
Tagabon wears a Golden State hat and said he watched every game of the Warriors' latest NBA championship run. His time with Thompson will be featured on a TV series called My Wish. It's a 15-year-old collaboration between Make-A-Wish and the sports broadcasting giant ESPN with ESPN's correspondent Chris Connolly. Tagabon said he had no idea about having his wish granted.
I keep on getting filled with surprises. I mean, first there was the surprise right out here for the homecoming, for me coming back, and then now it's for me making my wish come true. So it's crazy how things could just happen, and just life is full of surprises, and I don't know, it's just crazy to me.
He's shaking his hand in a couple days.
Yeah, I'm awestruck. Oh my gosh.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, thank you.
His parents were notified just the day before that the wish would be granted, and the family would be flying to California the next day. Jamie Sandys with Make-A-Wish America says the airport surprise came together at the last minute.
The community just came together so quickly to make that moment really special for Joseph, and it's the perfect way to kick off what's going to be a truly unforgettable, life-changing experience.
Tagabon is the first Alaskan to be featured on the My Wish series. No word if it's sunk in yet. In Petersburg, Joe Vicnicki.
Thank you all so much.
Tagabon meets Thompson today, and the segment is scheduled to air Wednesday, July 20th, during ESPN's 8 a.m. block. And finally, how cold is the water in the Bering Sea? That's what a group of researchers from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration wants to know. NOAA is currently out in the Aleutian Islands running their annual Eastern Bering Sea Bottom Trawl Survey. They've been running annual surveys since the 1970s, mainly to collect data on the distribution and abundance of bottom-dwelling species like crab and groundfish. But this year, they're paying special attention to something else, the cold pool, a section of bottom water that stays cold through the summer. It affects everything from when fish spawn to what part of the ocean they live in. It also acts as a barrier that keeps Arctic species separate from fish like pollock and cod, two of the most commercially important species in the region. The cold pool has shrunk significantly in recent years, which could disrupt the fragile ecosystem. NOAA is releasing their data in real time, and is expected to post their final results in September. You can follow along with the researchers at fisheries.noaa.gov. Quick look at the National Weather Service forecast for the weekend in the Juneau area. Tonight, scattered rain showers, lows in the mid-50s. Saturday, scattered rain showers, highs around 60. Sunday, rain, highs around 60. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, July 15th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.